We had the episode all ready to go, and then news broke. A third coaching change has been made in the National Hockey League. I'm going to tell you what the Edmonton, Minnesota, and now St. Louis situations all have in common. Plus, Detroit's Jake Walman stops by to describe what it's like to play with a legend like Patrick Kane. And we're going to get into his gritty celebrations after big goals and tell you what's next from Jake. It's The Chirp with Darren Millard.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
Huzzah! Oh, how'd that feel, old man? That's a disgrace! That's a disgrace! What a joke!
Hit him, light him up, light him up.
Yeah, nice hit!
That's solid.
Weird how this happens. A day after a Stanley Cup winning coach got a vote of confidence in Pittsburgh, another title holder has been let go. The St. Louis Blues have relieved head coach Craig Berube of his position after a 13-14-1 start for 27 points. That's important because it's 1 point out of a wild card spot in the Western Conference. 7 points, however, from a Central Division berth, one of those automatic top three spots. Then you add in what Edmonton's doing right now, and it really does reflect poorly on what the chances are of St. Louis being able to qualify for the playoffs, because the Blues, quite honestly, might be in a position with six other teams battling for one spot at the end of the day. And that increased the urgency for Doug Armstrong to make a move and look at all the signs that were pointing in a wrong direction. There's been three coaching changes this year: Edmonton, Minnesota, and St. Louis, and are all in the Western Conference. And that's where it's tightly packed, all the parity in the Western Conference. The first two teams, Edmonton and Minnesota, got immediate results. Edmonton is flying right now under the tutelage of Chris Knobloch, and Minnesota got an immediate boost under John Hines. So anything similar to those situations and their coaching changes in St. Louis should put the Blues back into a playoff position. And then it will be up to, if it is Drew Bannister or if it's somebody that's brought in, to try to evolve that team into a more consistent performer. I have to admit to you, I wasn't shocked to see the news come across the phone and the alert that the St. Louis Blues had made a move. And I'll explain why. I talked to Doug Armstrong as part of a conversation with general manager Doug Armstrong at the start of the season. And two things were very clear as we discussed things. One, Doug had a very clear, straightforward conversation with Jordan Binnington that the goaltender had to be better. And overall, Jordan Binnington has been much improved over a year ago. In fact, in Berube's last win as coach of the Blues, Binnington was the first star, and he was great the next night because it was a home-and-home with the Vegas Golden Knights, and I watched those games in person. Now, number two was what I interpreted to be a very short leash on the coaching front. Doug told me, and paraphrase a little bit here, something along the lines that Craig had earned the opportunity to turn the fortunes around of the St. Louis Blues from a year that they missed the playoffs last season to trying to get back into the postseason this time around, and that Craig had enough equity built up from his Stanley Cup championship season in which he took over and took the team from worst to first. And there was an opportunity, like, I'm giving you a chance, let's see how it goes. But it didn't sound like he's for sure my guy, we're all in. That's my interpretation of the discussion that I had with Doug. And it was a okay start for St. Louis this year. In fact, at one point, they'd won six in a row last month. But things have changed lately to a much more inconsistent performance and ended up with a four-game losing streak. They've dropped five of their last six, and part of that run included losses to Detroit, to Chicago, to Columbus, and to Arizona. Those are four teams that the St. Louis Blues, when you're fighting for inclusion into the playoffs and some kind of consistency to get onto a roll and establish a bit of a cushion on a playoff spot. Those are four teams that you have to get points out of, and you have to beat a couple of them. Chicago, drafted first overall last year. Columbus has really gone sideways in the last 2 years. Arizona, you're in direct competition with, and Detroit has struggled lately. And that was an opportunity to be able to go out and win one of those games. The power play, that hasn't worked. And they're 31st in the league at the man advantage, 20th on the PK. It doesn't tell the whole story, I know that, but those are two categories, the PK and the power play, that are easily connected to the coach's office. The power play was 0-for-3 on the night that Craig Berube was let go after the loss against the Red Wings and finishes up on a 0-for-16 run. It, again, is one of those areas that if you just connect a couple of times, maybe you turn a loss into an overtime loss, or you might be able to pull out a victory. Craig did make the playoffs in four of his five seasons that he finished the year with the St. Louis Blues, and he won the Stanley Cup in one of them. The only year that he didn't make the playoffs was last year, and right now he's 1 point out. 1 point out and only missed the playoffs one time in parts of six seasons as coach. Does that not tell you the pressure that everybody's under to win and produce results in the National Hockey League? It is a win-now business as much as ever. And you saw that in Minnesota with Dean Evason. You saw that in Edmonton, which has all the markings of a team that can get through different stumbles or speed bumps in the course of a National Hockey League season. And Jay Woodcroft wasn't able to survive. And that's where they are now with the St. Louis Blues, making a coaching change. Drew Bannister is the interim coach, promoter from Springfield. Berube has 1 year left on his deal in St. Louis, and I'm really curious to see which direction Doug Armstrong goes here. Bannister's interim. Does he stick with the American Hockey League coach? Edmonton plucked Chris Knobloch out of the American Hockey League with Hartford. The New York Rangers farm team. And then in Minnesota made John Hines their head coach, and that's John Hines' third stop. He's a veteran, a National Hockey League coach. Doug Armstrong's got a great feel for this. He made the change from Mike Yeo to Craig Berube. He saw that and was really invested in being able to stick with Craig to get through some tough times in that Stanley Cup championship year and find a way to get into the playoffs. And this will be, there's coaches out there, but there's also a bit of a trend. I wonder what the influence of Chris Knobloch's success with the Edmonton Oilers will do to promoting from within or from the American Hockey League. Berube's last game was a 6-4 loss to the Detroit Red Wings. That one featured three separate leads for St. Louis that were erased by the Red Wings. It stopped a three-game losing streak for the Detroit Red Wings. Again, it's not just that St. Louis was losing games. It was who they were losing to and what those teams were going through at the time. The Detroit Red Wings got a goal from Jake Walman in that game. He's a former St. Louis Blues defenseman. He played under Craig Berube, but has really blossomed since going over to Detroit. And he's headed for a second straight career high in goals. And he's a guy, Jake Walman, is a player that everybody should be cheering for to score. You have to be able to check out the celebrations when the puck goes in off the stick of Jake Walman, because he loves to celebrate and he actually researches different ways to express himself after goals. And I got a chance to talk to him the other day, because Jake Walman's done the gritty dance after a couple of goals. He's modified it a little bit, and I was curious about what's coming next with Jake. And there's stuff coming down the pipe here from Jake Wallman, from different celebration techniques and ways to really get into the moment, and what goes through his mind going into it, and what is the end product is sometimes can be a fluid situation. But Jake also had some really interesting thoughts on what is still a new experience in playing with Patrick Kane, the future Hall of Famer. So here's my conversation with Detroit Red Wings defenseman Jake Wallman on The Chirp with Darren Millard. Let's just start a little bit back. What have you learned about Detroit since you arrived there?
Yeah, well, I was pretty fortunate enough to get traded here. Not a lot of guys love getting traded, but I think it was really good for my development, my career. It's been unreal since I've been here. Detroit's kind of, I felt home since I got here. It's just got that knack for pulling guys in and wanting to compete for the city. And it's been great. I love Detroit as a city, and the team's doing great too. So I love playing here.
Have you done anything that's stands out in your time in Detroit?
I don't know. I don't know. I couldn't pick one thing, but just the people around. I find that it's a hardworking city, and people respect when you're doing well. And obviously, it's a huge sports city. So when the Red Wings are doing well, when any team's doing well in Detroit, it's a good feeling.
How many Hall of Famers do you see during the course of a day?
Yeah, probably like at least two or three of them are in here. You got Stevie always around, and then see Nick Lidstrom, Holmstrom, Cleary, and we got like four or five guys every day that are here.
It's amazing, right? And you call him Stevie. I'm not sure I can walk up to him and call him Stevie.
I don't call him Stevie to his face. I say Steve. Everybody knows him as Stevie, CBY. So yeah.
Have you had any talks or sit downs about playing the position with Nick?
A few times. Yeah. He's, we've been fortunate enough that he's kind of around here and there. I'd say like once a month we bump into him and he hangs around for 3 or 4 days. So, it's really cool to pick his brain, and it's all those guys that are kind of around Detroit that still live here. Even the guys from Sweden, they come for weeks at a time and spit their knowledge at us. So yeah, it's great. I think it's huge history, and they make it worth it to come in.
Do you watch Nick much growing up?
Yeah, I did. The Leafs were my team, so not anymore, but
I'm sorry about that.
I watched them battle, and Nick was obviously one of the best defensemen ever. So to be able to pick his brain is pretty cool. He sees it a different way, and just fortunate.
Has he ever said something to you where you go, that's on your level, that's not on the normal person's level?
I'm not sure. He doesn't really comment on the games too much, but just like hearing something from him, it's almost surreal, and he feels like a higher human. But he did everything pretty perfect, so it's tough to compete.
Who was your favorite player growing up?
Alex Ovechkin was my favorite player, and I'm a D-man. I'm a D-man, but every time I had a computer at my hands, I'd always be searching up his highlights and his celebration videos, and he just fired me up. And I was really fortunate when we played them last year. He signed a stick for me, so I'll always have that in my bedroom, and wherever my house is, I'll have it hung up somewhere.
Okay, you don't have to give us the address, but where's the stick right now?
It's at home in my family's house. I grew up, my childhood home. It's in my bedroom there.
People will be interested to know, how do you go about getting a signed stick from Alexander Ovechkin? What's that process like?
I actually asked Tom Wilson first, and then he told me that he doesn't like asking for guys to sign stuff. So I had to try and find another way. I asked the equipment manager. I said, hey, I've been a huge fan. Like, just a picture would be cool. But after the game, he ended up signing a stick, and it says "To Wally" on it. So that's pretty cool.
That's outstanding. Do you have any other memorabilia, or is that what you're breaking the ice with?
I have a couple other things. I try not to ask too much, but That was my idol, so I had to ask him. I think by the end of my career, I'll probably add him up and get a bunch more.
I don't get to give advice very often, but keep going down that path because it doesn't last forever. And by the time it's over, you don't have those connections. So lean into this.
I know. I see David Perron doing it now that he's I don't know, hopefully he's got 5 or 6 years more left, but he does it he pretty much gets one every game from somebody, so he's building his collection. I'm gonna do that near the end of my career.
Ovi did the hot stick. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and he got in a bit of hot water over that. I loved it. I thought it was amazing, and was just made it different. Is that where your gritty celebration came from, or I'm wondering the origin of that?
Yeah, I think I always tried to, like, even when I was playing junior and Triple-A, when I was younger watching Ovi, I would always copy his celebrations, and I did the point, jump into the glass, all that kind of stuff, even though it wasn't at the level that he was at. And I don't know, I just think that he, especially earlier in his career, he loved having fun. It was obvious that he loved scoring goals, and I always say it's just a game, and you kind of have to have fun at some point, and there's nothing more fun than scoring goals, being with your teammates and celebrating. So yeah, I guess I took a page out of his book. That's it kind of fires me up to Selly, but yeah, I don't know. It's you have the rare opportunity to enjoy the moment, and it's kind of what I try to do.
Do you have a checklist, maybe an order that you work your way through with the celebrations?
No, I think everybody gives pointers after they see something. So if I see something being done, then I kind of want to do it. Yeah, if something's going viral, I kind of want to do it, and if it's a thing, then I think it's cool to do.
Like all sports, you're watching them all?
Yeah, mostly football. I think football has the best celebrations, and I just find it so cold when they like touch get a touchdown, and even a coordinated dance with the rest of the team or something that they choreographed before is pretty cool.
That'd be neat if you guys did a little choreographed celebration on the ice. Can you get the guys to buy into that?
Yeah, I don't know. We couple guys probably would, but most of the team probably wouldn't.
Have you seen a celebration that you'd like to incorporate that maybe might be too far or too extravagant for the National Hockey League?
I'm always on TikTok. I'm looking at the trends, the dances, but we have a guy on the Detroit Lions here, Aiden Hutchinson. He did a stanky leg celebration, so I'm gonna have to try to figure out how I can do that on ice, but that'd be pretty cool to give a little salute to him.
Did you practice the gritty before you did the gritty?
Off the ice for sure. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm always like I'm a huge dancer. Try to get the guys going a little bit. So I guess it translated pretty well on the ice. I've never really like practiced it on the ice, but I don't know. I can add to it. Always add to it.
So like going to the club dancing or just goofing around dancing?
Yeah, goofing around, dancing like in the dressing room. Yeah, I mean weddings, whatever. I'm kind of the center of the dance circle.
I love that. So the gritty, what you added to the gritty the other day, do you have an idea of where to take it next time?
There's a guy so Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, those guys that kind of did it in the
Yeah.
NFL, they learned it from a guy that they played college ball with, and his last name is actually Gritty. So I'm not sure if that's where it came from, but he reached out to me after he saw the first couple and gave me some tips, and he always adds stuff to it. So I think he's gonna come to Detroit one time. We can do something on the ice, maybe cook something else up. But no, I think he saw guys that know dancing pretty well. They're giving tips, and they're liking the finger points, and there's other things I can do, so we'll see.
What tips did he give you? What suggestions?
He did one where there was like a very there's variations of the gritty, but he did one where there's like a dice roll. There's a reverse gritty. I don't know how that's gonna work on the ice, but there's different things you can do. So I don't know if I'll keep doing gritty or I'll do something else. Just switch it up totally. We'll see.
What was the hardest part about doing the gritty on the ice?
So it goes to that song Right Foot Creep,
Yeah.
and I'm trying to I think the hardest part is to try and sing it in my head as I do it, just to get the tempo down right. It's pretty, because like when you put it in the background of the song, you kind of want it to match up. So that's probably the hardest part, getting the tempo down. And then I don't know if you saw the, I did the squabble on the ice against Boston, but That one I was singing in my head too, so I was trying to get the rhythm down just so the music could add up to it. But yeah, that's probably the hardest part.
Buddy, that's a lot going on right after a goal.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. That's like me off the ice 24/7. I'm just singing, kind of. I like that hip hop rap stuff. So any trends that's going on, I kind of know it, and yeah, I'm in tune with that stuff.
What's on your playlist right now?
Right now the boys are doing Lil Tecca in the room. Anything that's kind of viral, hip hop, rap, Drake. I love Drake. I'm from Toronto, so Drake, listen to him 24/7. Lil Uzi, guys that are in the top of the hip hop game.
Does PK and 88 get any say in the music now?
I don't know. I've only talked to him a few times, but he's definitely given me some wisdom. He laughs at the dances, and he's good fun.
Is he intimidating in the sense of we know he's going to the Hall of Fame, multi-cup champion, and then he comes into your room. So how do you introduce yourself to him?
Yeah, I don't know. I just say, "What's up, Caner?" Pretty much.
Really? Right away to the caner?
Yeah, I guess it's pretty cool. I've never been fortunate enough to play with, like, he's an actual superstar. And growing up, I would play video games with my buddies and always try to pass the puck to Kane. Like, he's the best player in the video game. So yeah, it's pretty surreal. It's pretty cool. At the same time, he's just a cool dude. He's brings that presence, that aura, and he'll be really good for our team. It'll be really good to have him around.
I forgot when it's easy to do, but then you watch him and he comes out and he's fresh off rehab and he's dishing pucks and to places that you don't even think that anybody's open. What's it that like as a player that's on the ice with him?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Even in practice, just watching him. He really does look like a video game. He's
Yeah.
always all over the place. He makes plays that I didn't even know were open. It's pretty cool. He costs Showtime for a reason. He's legit, and he looks really good. And I just can't wait. Hopefully he can get a couple good sellies in the Red Wings jersey.
Could you imagine doing the gritty beside PK?
Don't know if that's his type of sellie, more like a one knee heartbreaker.
Yeah.
But that'd be pretty cool if we connected on a goal and maybe he pointed or something like that. I could see that happening.
Okay, you got to get something from him, like the memorabilia that we talked about with Ovi. There's got to
Yeah,
be something.
for sure. I think probably a couple guys already asked for sticks, but yeah, I'm sure we'll get some at some point for the collection.
Somebody's already gone down that path.
I mean, I'm sure. I don't know, but I've definitely looked at a stick before because just iconic, that curve and everything. So I don't know, it's cool having him around. It's really cool for me, especially growing up watching him. And yeah, it's I think it just makes our team that much better, and seeing him and Cat too on the ice together, it's cool.
It's a compliment to you guys too, because you put yourself in this position to make that happen. That shouldn't go unrecognized. What are your expectations for your group as far as challenging for a playoff spot or a top three spot or beyond that?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously something we always talk about, kind of within the room, knowing what we have here. And obviously, Caner, when he chose the Wings to add to your question there, I guess he saw something in our group. And it's a huge props to our guys. We've kind of been building something since bringing in guys last year and this year, and you can really see the train starting to go in the right direction. It's fun to come to the rink when guys want to be here, guys want to win and help the team win. I can't say too much. We're trying to carry that quiet confidence, but yeah, I mean, hopefully at the end of the year we can play these big meaningful games and make it worth it.
Okay, before we let you go, I went online last night and was looking at some instructional videos on the Gritty. I watched a whole thing about the walking me through step by step. If you could give me advice as a novice, what would be your suggestion to best incorporate the Gritty into my routine?
I don't know. I think there's easy tutorials like on TikTok. It starts with the feet, and you got to tap your ankles in a certain way. Make sure you got the feet going before anything else. That's the biggest thing. Like you can pretty much do the gritty without the hands. Just make sure your feet are going. And then make sure you're trying to match it up with the music every time. It looks way better when you're going with the music.
That's great advice, because I get too focused on my arms. I get focused on that and forget about
Yeah,
the tap
I mean the
thing.
arms is the iconic gritty, but I think the feet are what make it legit.
This is awesome. Thanks for doing this. Great catching up with you, and keep going. I want to see a post of that Ovi stick at some point.
Sounds good. I got it.
Thanks.
When I go home, I will, but appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Darren.
That's a fun guy. One of the greatest things about doing this podcast is getting to know players that I haven't had a chance to cross paths with before. Jake Wallman, I admire. I love his style. I love his offensive flair. I love his aggressiveness. And I love the way he is able to express himself. He's not afraid to step outside the box in what is a conservative sport. There's a bobblehead doll coming up from the Detroit Red Wings of Jake doing the gritty. So they have bought into that. And he's not shying away from doing something different down the road, which is quite outstanding. It was a traditional celebration in the goal against the St. Louis Blues that marked the end of Craig Berube's time behind the bench of the Stanley Cup champions from 2019. And if the Blues do get a bump, by the way, if they follow suit with Minnesota and what Edmondson's done, then every coach that's on the playoff bubble or is playing below expectations and that inclusion line that hits a speed bump, that coach is going to be in jeopardy. It's just the fact that the results are right there, and it's tough to argue with the success of Minnesota getting back in. And Dean Evason's a buddy of mine, and I can't believe the turnaround in Minnesota, because nobody put more into it than Dino. And then you look at Edmonton, which is just flying high, and they might be in a top three position in the Pacific where they were long gone and forgotten. And wild card was even going to be a big challenge. People like Craig Berube are passionate, and the players like Craig. I want to make that known. They're loyal to Craig. But Jordan Kyrou has not produced well this year. Now, that's been offset by Robert Thomas being great. But if you're not like doing something really positive and heading in the right direction, there's going to be questions to be asked. And if Kyrou produces just a little bit more, even 50% more, we're not having this conversation. I mean, a month ago, they'd won six in a row. And now St. Louis Blues have dropped four straight. And we're talking about a head coaching change. And why now? Well, their schedule is very difficult leading up to the holidays. Really, really difficult. If you let this go any longer, having lost four in a row and five of the last six, you're going to be at risk of being out of it, and you're not going to be able to catch up. So you make the change now, you hope for some surge in the standings, and you get right back into it. It might be under Drew Bannister, it might be under a different head coach. We'll watch it, we'll follow it, and we'll keep you up to date with all the storylines that come out through the National Hockey League and this fall that has featured three different coaching changes, and incredibly, all three on the same side of the National Hockey League's conference divide. Thanks to Jake Wallman for stopping by. Fun stuff. Let us know your reaction to him. Do you love players doing that kind of celebration? I miss the individual celebrations, thinking Jaromir Jagr and Brian Propp and different ways that guys had their unique and individual, aspired, almost trademarked celebrations. Love to hear your reaction to it. Thanks to Bob Bender as well. And can't wait to chat with you again next week on The Chirp with Darren Millard.